Welcome to Nevada News. Meg's on the broadcast. Today we're talking marijuana and the initiative with Joe Bresny, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Chris Wicker and Marsha Burke-Bigler. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
I'm one of them.
Yo también.
I'm one of over 300,000 Nevadans who rely on Social Security.
Social Security helps us pay the bills.
And enjoy the retirement that we've earned.
That's what makes Joe Hecht so dangerous.
His plan to privatize Social Security means billions in profits for Wall Street.
Risking retirement security on the stock market.
What if it crashes again?
Wall Street has given Joe Hecht over $500,000.
I wonder who he's working for.
Because it's not us.
AFSCME People is responsible for the content of this ad.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Joe Bresny. He's the executive director of the Nevada Cannabis Industry Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts on the reports from the DEA, despite what the president's trying to do in terms of research of marijuana, DEA still says this is as bad as heroin. Even the New York Times put an article out, an editorial saying this is ridiculous.
It is. Great news on research. We've loosened up the restrictions on research a little bit, and that's finally started to move in the right direction. But honestly, the DEA's position on descheduling marijuana when it's, by any objective measure, less harmful than alcohol, less addictive than alcohol, does less damage to your body, far less likely to be associated with violent behavior, when we compare it to a substance that is not scheduled at all and that we regulate well, when we compare it to that, it just makes no sense. But it's something.
Are you talking about alcohol?
Yeah. It makes no sense that you wouldn't take that approach with marijuana, which is why we named the committee what we did. And it's unfortunate, but it's not surprising. That's probably the most unfortunate part. And I think the net result is that this actually sends more people to our camp, because reasonable, intelligent people take a look at this. They take a look at the fact that 47,000 people died of opiate overdoses last year and zero died of marijuana overdoses last year. Yet 80% of our drug enforcement budget is spent on the plant that killed nobody last year. So it's something where it just doesn't make sense. There's a disconnect. So then when they see regulation measures on the ballot, they believe our side because we're telling the truth. And the prohibition of the DEA has gone on for so long and it makes so little sense. I think it's costing their side support.
Do you also not think that that this is a question of time, that people that were smoking marijuana back in the 60s, maybe even in the 50s, are the voters of today, the senior citizens that every campaign likes to go after? And so they're aware they may not be smoking marijuana now, though in some cases they may be smoking marijuana, because for the aches and pains that ail you as you get older, marijuana has been a relief. If you suffer from cancer, there are lots of illnesses purposes that marijuana can be helpful for.
Yeah.
And a lot of doctors in Nevada that I've spoken to are telling people, you know, prior to it being legal medically in Nevada, we're telling people to go to South Lake Tahoe and get their marijuana.
Yeah, which really, I mean, encouraging someone to cross state lines, we don't want to do that. There's a better way. There's really a better way for this. And it's something that we also can see that the current system, we're basically rewarding the cartels. We're basically saying cartels can push this through schools because they're not checking ID, they're not checking with anyone on who they sell it to, or regulation, which is what we're proposing. We get to say who gets to sell this, what hours they can be open. We've actually been criticized for the amount of regulation. It's been called over-regulating it, which I think for the first steps isn't a bad way to go. Let's decide who can sell this, where and when it can be sold, what hours. Let's test the product for purity. Let's test it for impurities and make sure that adults over 21 don't get hassled for a personal choice, for a personal choice on something that's less harmful than alcohol.
You know, and this is an interesting topic because who knew that there were all these impurities in marijuana?
Yeah, until we started testing.
Yeah, I mean, there are generations of people that have smoked marijuana that we're not thinking about, that there may be other substances within this product that could cause harm.
Fertilizer, it could be moldy, you could have insect, or I mean any issue that you can have with a traditional agricultural crop, you could also have with this, which is why we have those strict safety standards for anything that we put in our body. So by any objective measure, if you look at it, regulation is just a better way to go. I mean, all of the arguments from the other side are based in fear-mongering tactics, trying to scare people and really trying to tell people that the medical marijuana industry here, that what you can see, your neighbors that own them, the stores on the corner where there's no issues, there's no crime spikes. They're trying to make us into something we're not. They're trying to say that the medical marijuana community here is unregulated when it's highly regulated. They're trying to take problems that have popped up in small areas nationwide in places that aren't as well regulated as us and bring them here. When you look at the system that we've set up for medical marijuana and the high bar that we have there, it really emulates the gold standard that we have for gaming industry regulation. And we've proven that we're better at doing that. We're so good at doing that, the 41 states copied us, but we're still considered the gold standard for that. This is less complex of a regulatory structure than that. We can do this. This is a better way.
The Marijuana Policy Project has been in contact with me for probably a decade or more in terms of trying to get this onto the ballot, first for medical and now for recreational marijuana.
Yeah.
Are they still involved with you? Are they helping to fund what you're doing?
Yes, they were. Rob Campia, the executive director of the Marijuana Policy Project, Rob and I and a guy named Neil Levine started this whole process 3 years ago. MPP was deeply involved in the process. They were our far and away the biggest funder of the signature gathering drive, and they're our partners throughout the rest of the campaign. So they're our national nonprofit that helps us out with the expertise.
And is George Soros still the major funder of the marijuana?
No. It's no longer something where we see nonprofits that have the luxury of having someone with deep pockets fund them. This is mostly funded by activists, by people who want to see a change in the law, and then by people in the medical marijuana community that see firsthand this is a better way to go. They see the security that they've invested and the time that they've invested in getting the zoning right, and they just want to see this continue with adult use retail marijuana.
All right, let's take a break. More with Joe Bresny when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
$1 billion in new subsidies. That's what out-of-state companies, SolarCity and Sunrun, are asking Nevada voters to give them. Their campaign isn't about energy choice. It's about money. Nevada families would be forced to pay higher power bills to subsidize their profits. You pay more, and they walk away with the cash. Sound fair? It's not. Find out more at solarenergyfairness.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Joe Bresny. He is the executive director of the Nevada Cannabis Industry Association. Now, you're talking about the lack of a deep-pocketed funder for your side.
Yeah.
It was announced last week that so far about $800,000 has been laid in advertising to get this project through. The voice that we have not really heard from publicly, but somebody who is definitely not in favor of this, is Sheldon Adelson of Las Vegas Sands, the owner of the Venetian and the Palazzo in Las Vegas and many casinos around the world, one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah.
His wife funds a drug clinic to help people who have problems with drugs. What do you anticipate coming from his side of the aisle? Because it's obviously not going to be in favor.
We've heard what you've heard. We've heard rumors that have spanned the spectrum on what Mr. Adelson may or may not do. We've run the campaign from the start anticipating that someone was going to show up and oppose us. We assumed it would be Project Sam and Kevin Sabet, and so far that's been who it is. And then we know that, I mean, he has admitted that he is going to anyone with a 9 or 10 figure bank account and trying to get them to fund a campaign against us. So we knew something would be coming, so we've been prepared for a campaign the whole time. And so we're just going to execute our campaign plan. And regardless of what shows up or who shows up against us, I think our campaign plan stays the same. And we just get our message out to our voters that this war on marijuana, it's been a really expensive failure, and it really shortchanges our kids. It makes it so that the cartels push marijuana through our schools, and marijuana is not all they're carrying. They're carrying other drugs too. And so if a kid gets caught in high school with a bottle of beer, they ask two questions. Do you have a fake ID? And did someone sell this to you underage knowingly? And then they go police that regulated sale. With marijuana, if a kid gets caught in school, they say, what three of your friends are selling this in school? That's a terrible system to set up for our kids. And that's why we see American teen usage rates are 40% higher than European usage rates, where they've treated this like a healthcare issue for a decade. So it's something where the regulated system puts that inherent protection in for our kids, because then we've got responsible business people selling this who have something to lose. The theory behind these licenses is make them hard to get and easy to lose so that we can police this. And so far, it's really working.
What kind of funding, if any, have you received from the liquor industry?
They contributed really early on to the drafting of the measure. They contributed around $80,000 more than 2 years ago, and they haven't given a contribution since.
And so they're not planning to be supportive? I mean, they're supportive in principle, because they want to see, which will occur, a three-tier system for marijuana, which means that it won't go directly from the grower to the seller.
Yeah, it'll go through a distributor and
just like the liquor
industry. Excise tax on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And am I right in saying that the threat was that if the marijuana industry did not agree to this, and I got this from the Marijuana Policy Project, that the liquor industry would have fought recreational marijuana?
I can't guess as to what they may or may not have done. We
hear
rumors and we hear things like that. But I think that from the political side of this, if you were to look to connect the dots, because of our tourism industry here and because in the casinos we gift a lot of alcohol, our per capita alcohol sales are a lot higher here. And so I think that from my perspective, when I came on board 3 years ago, what I was told is, We're trying to make this tent as big as possible. We want Republicans in this tent. We want law enforcement in this tent. We want the liquor industry in this tent. We want people in this tent that have been what I call non-traditional allies, which means people that generally oppose you. But if you can turn the people who generally oppose you into an ally, your tent gets bigger and you have a better chance of winning. I think what we can be called guilty of in this is we made our tent so big, some people in the tent are upset about some other people in the tent. But that's part of getting this across the finish line with the biggest coalition possible.
All right, but do you not have a concern that if you go to a three-tier system, that the marijuana is going to end up being more expensive and that allows the black market to still function?
No, because we're nothing like Washington. We're nothing like a 75% tax. There has to be a benefit for education in this. We have to have a reasonable tax structure. And it's striking a balance between no taxation, which means no benefit for the education system, and such high taxation that you see the same thing that happens with cigarette taxes. If you raise them too high, you actually don't produce any revenue because you just drive the sales to Native American sites and the internet. And so we want to find a middle ground. So a 15% excise tax, Colorado's 25% tax, we're 15, so it seems like we're not a no-tax state, but we're a reasonable tax state on the retail marijuana. And so you've also got to have a way to administer that tax. And when we researched this with the Department of Taxation, they recommended a wholesale excise tax at the distribution stage. Now, we could have said that armored car companies were going to be the first to market. We wanted to put someone in as first to market so that we could say, this is what you're getting when you vote for this. You're getting trusted people in the medical marijuana community, trusted people in the secure delivery community. So we could have gone with armored cars, and I don't think there would have been as much of an outcry about it. But we chose to talk with the liquor industry because when we went around and talked to every stakeholder we could imagine and said, what do you think of this? We think this is reasonable. They expressed interest in participating and helping.
Okay,
and so that's
but,
how we got
But I mean,
here.
The bottom line on that was that basically they were going to oppose you if they weren't included.
That I was never told that. I didn't do those meetings, though.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's politically stupid to make the tent bigger. I think it's politically smart.
Okay, we're out of time today. Love to have you come back because there's so much more to talk about because I think there's an incredible responsibility for the marijuana industry to have a huge part of the business being education so that kids under the age of 18 find out that there are lots of problems with all kinds of drugs, including marijuana.
I agree.
And to avoid them. And I think that's a huge responsibility.
We are the solution to that. We're the ones to help with that,
for
sure.
We hope so. And also, we'd love to have you come back on and debate with Pat Hickey or whoever in the opposition and talk about it more. Thank you so much for being here.
Glad to. Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
What began as a vision grew to become a foundation of Nevada history. A place where gridiron greatness was born. Leaders became legends. An entire community rose up as one. Now, 50 years later, Mackey Stadium has been reborn, and the next chapter begins. Nevada Wolfpack Football. For season tickets, visit NevadaWolfpack.com or call 348-PACK.
Credit Karma? Why are you checking your credit score?
You don't want to drive old blue forever, do you?
Turn it off.
I did.
Credit Karma, huh?
Yeah, it's free.
That was easy.
Credit Karma. Give yourself some credit.
Non-attorney spokesperson, attention women with ovarian cancer. If you or a loved one use baby powder before your diagnosis,
call 1-800-444-3799.
You may be entitled to compensation. For decades, medical studies have linked long-term use of baby powder with ovarian cancer. If you or someone you love was diagnosed with ovarian cancer after using baby powder,
call 1-800-444-3799.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers. I am so excited about this segment. I have been since I saw the lineup. Our pundits today, Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe Dems, and a DNC member, Marsha Burke Bigler, Washoe County Commissioner. Last time you and Mindy Elliott just took me apart over Donald Trump, and now it's going to be a fair fight because I'm going to shut up and let you guys go. So all I'm going to say is Chris Wicker, Donald Trump, your thoughts.
You know, that's a really, really big question. I continue to be dumbstruck every week by what Donald Trump says, and he was complaining recently, I think just yesterday, complaining about the news media coverage of the very stupid things that he says and controversial things that he says. And to a point, he has a point in the sense that the coverage has really turned dramatically negative for him. But the truth of it is that when you talk about things like he talks about, you know, Second Amendment, people taking care of Hillary Clinton, or the supporting the policies in the Ukraine that Russia does, or violating our alliances. It just, the list goes on and on about the incredibly stupid things that Donald Trump says that are just horrible for the United States' interest. It's just shocking.
To be fair, the media, what he's complaining about is not that they're covering him, but that they're not covering what Hillary's done. Who's talking about all the four people who just died from the Democratic Party who by violent means in the last 30 days? Who's talking about all the things that are connected to her, to the Clinton fundraising program, the Clinton, whatever they call it, Foundation, the Clinton Foundation? Who's talking about all the money that's come from foreign countries? Nobody's talking about any of that. And to be fair, yes, Donald has a habit of sticking his foot in his mouth and chewing. He does it well. But to be fair, the media, the national media, does not pick up on anything to do with Hillary, or they'll throw a little tidbit in at the very end after they've spent 20 minutes bashing Trump. They'll throw a little tidbit in at the very end. I mean, I think he has a valid complaint about that.
I disagree with you totally. I think you see in the newspaper all the time the so-called stories about the Clinton Foundation and everything else that you're talking about. The emails have been a story for years.
Yes, but
there's so little there. And
it's
the
not
Clinton
being picked up on the national media.
Oh, that's where thing. I read it. That's where I read
you
it.
You read it in the newspaper, but it's not on the national news. And
well,
the average citizen in America listens to the national news much more than they'd read the newspaper.
Well, you have one person that makes a donation to the Clinton Foundation and another person that's looking for a job with the State Department. Compare that to Donald Trump suggesting that if Hillary Clinton gets elected, that the Second Amendment people can take care of the judges she might appoint.
You can spin that any way you want.
He's responsible for how people understand what he says.
He is. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. And yes, I agree that he says things that are. I sit back and say, why are you saying that? What's wrong with you?
Well, yeah, I think that's the point exactly. What is wrong with Donald Trump that he would say things like President Clinton, I mean President Obama and Secretary Clinton are the founders of ISA, and maintain that when he's given an out by Hugh Hewitt, and then finally when he realizes he gets so much criticism, he says, "Oh, I was just kidding." What kind of president is that?
Well, I don't know, but what kind of president is it when you can't trust anything she says? What difference does it make? People were killed, and her response to the Congress was, what difference does it make now? They're dead. So what difference is it? I mean, come on. You have to be serious, and you have to be somewhat honest if you're going to be president of the United States. Somewhat honest. In my opinion, there's nothing honest about Clinton.
Well, the political fact checkers have found that far and away, Hillary Clinton has been the most accurate and most honest of all the candidates. And they found that Donald Trump has gotten, I think it's somewhere over 60% for Pinocchio's or pants on fire for stuff he says. And so I know that Hillary Clinton has a reputation for untruthfulness, and she has to fight that every day. But the facts are she has been truthful.
But I think what you're seeing is a spin. Just like his comment was taken that the Second Amendment people can take care of judges or take care of Hillary or whatever if she's elected president. That is not what he intended to mean. Now, I agree with you. He spins his comments in such a way that they're easily skewed, shall we say. So it's very easy for the national media pundits and people to stand up and say, well, he's saying those people who are Second Amendment rights people, go shoot them. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, you can get up and go out and vote against her. That's how you can fix this problem. Because if you don't do that, you're going to lose your Second Amendment rights.
Well,
that's what he was saying.
I hope that's what he meant. I hope that's what he meant. But when you say things like, after she's elected and the Second Amendment people can take care of the problem of her electing anti-Second Amendment judges.
He didn't say that after she's elected. He said that in this
election. Well, she's only going to be appointing judges after she's elected.
Well, he wasn't. The comment that was said did not relate to judges until the pundits spun that in there.
Well, you know, you could bypass that as he's saying dumb stuff that he doesn't mean. But he does it week after week, month after month, year after year.
That's where we have to leave it. Thank you very much. And you've seen the premiere of the Chris Wicker and Marcia Burt Bigler show. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Every day we help people injured in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need our help?
Go Lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
When you retain the law firm of Kilpatrick Bolentini, you become a client of our law firm.
And client is a word we take very, very seriously.
Every client is entitled to honest answers and respect.
Call us for a free consultation. We can really help.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm an absolute dentist.
We are absolute dentists.
Do you?
Do you?
Do you have an absolute dentist?
I am an absolute dentist.
Absolute Dental provides complete dental care at affordable prices for your whole family, including children's dentistry and orthodontics.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm also an absolute dentist.
And I'm an absolute dentist, too.
Do you have an absolute dentist?
Because you should.
Call us today to schedule your appointment at 844-8-SMILE-NOW or visit absolutedental.com.
On our next broadcast, Mike Kazmierski of EDON. We'll see you then.